views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 22nd of April, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Now, for my audience, listen, audience, I got a little secret for you, and I need you to keep it between me and you, because I have a guest in studio, and I don't want them to know, right, that y'all really, really want to talk politics today. Right. I don't want my guests to know that. We can keep the secret between us, right? And so I invited my guests to the show long before I knew we would be right in the middle of the election season. And I promised my guests I'm going to treat them like civil servants, right? And that means that we come to discuss what they come to discuss, right? But Bahamians, we are Chicchanis. We are shines. So maybe I can talk about politics while my guests talk about something different. I just want you all to watch how I'm trying to do it. And maybe you could join in and try to do it. But listen, this is election season, people, and we have to be very, very careful. In fact, before we start this discussion this morning, I want to remind you all, did you all read the article in yesterday's Tribune with the title, Anglican Bishop Calls for an End to Dirty Political Campaigning? Right? Anglican Bishop Laish Boyd has delivered a scathing assessment of political campaigning, warning that rallies are more about spectacle, ridicule, and crowd manipulation than serious national discussion as the country heads to the May 12th general election. I really appreciated the words shared by Bishop Boyd. But that's not why I'm most upset about this current political cycle. I am most upset by this current political cycle because it's become completely apparent that y'all don't have no mother's wit. Y'all don't know who y'all are, who you are, and whose you are, and where you from. Y'all don't know that you come from a long line of people who, even with limited access to Western education, had a magnificent command of the Queen's English, the Bahamian English, the real dialect, island dialect English, that you come from people that mastered multiple forms of English. And yet, when it comes to election time, all you all have are these ads. Like, they are on the verge of criminal. So much so that you don't attach your name to it. Right? You're ashamed for people to know you created it. And it saddens me because I remember being young and realizing, you know, you talking to older people and then after about 25 minutes after the conversation, you realize, them old people was rowing and cussing me. Hold on. I didn't realize what those words actually meant while they were saying it, right? Like, We used to have a command of the English language that was on the verge of magical. I mean, when I say on the verge, I'm being polite. See, because words are magic. That's why you spell them. And having a command of them allows you to create things and bring new things into the world. So I have some poets here with me to talk about, first of all, April, National Poetry Month, the projects that they're working on, the activities and events that are taking place this month and next month, right? And then I have some prompts for them that will become a little bit more relevant in a moment. But I'm going to throw out these prompts for you. Like the old people say, the prize is the knowledge that you have improved yourself by your own steam. That's another fancy way of saying we broke and we cannot afford to pay you for your winnings. See, you got to understand how to command the English language. One man told me something the other day, and at first, it was because we was in traffic, I wasn't sure what was happening. It wasn't until I got home that I realized that this boy was how you all straight people is doing when you, it was a proposal under the threat of harm. Right? That's why I picked it up. This guy said, you keep playing with me. I gonna marry you and make your life miserable, woman. I say, oh my, it took me 30 minutes to realize what this guy meant. Right? And so calling on or referring to the words of Boyd in yesterday's article, Anglican Bishop calls for an end to dirty political campaigning. I'm here to say, if you can't end the dirty campaigning, even though it's within your power because you are the political class and you control the political culture and you could set the tone for anything in this country, right? If don't worry about all of that. Like, at least make it witty. Make it witty. See, as a gay rights advocate and a public advocate, right? I've had people say all manner of things to me over the last 30 years. All manner of things to me. And let me it just hits different when it's witty. It just hits different when it's creative, right? That's why I was supposed to wear my gay wench shirt. Good morning, caller. How you doing? I miss you. Let's work together again, right? Because you gave me some words and I made some magic out of it, right? But today I have on my Toto shirt.
I see that.
Tongues of the ocean. And not guess one of
just one.
Tongue. Just one. All the people you send out there into the world? That's right, though. When we go into the world, we speak with one tongue. We are Bahamians. Anyway, let me bring my guests into the conversation this morning. Joining me for National Poetry Month, and let me just say to the environmentalists, the conservationists, I have not forgotten you. Today is also World Earth Day. Let me tell you, see, y'all think you in a relationship. And in the Bahamas, we get more dollars than cents. That means we solve problems with money. My man could leave me. I could pay rent on my own. Right? Take your car. I could call Japan and get a new car here in a couple minutes. You know? My boss, I don't like my boss. I could get a new job. I got enough savings to last me till I get a new job. But you can't break up with the earth. You are not KB. You don't know how to get to the moon. You don't even know how the little roaches in the wash line get a clothesline, get on the moon. We can't break up with the earth. And so we must live understanding this is the only home that we have. That's going to come into the conversation as well today. So joining me in studio, I have Mr. Andrew Gomez and Ms. Tanisha Pratt. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, good morning. My name is Andrew Gomez. I am a spoken word artist and author. I am also the curator of the Blackbird Poetry Slam community. It's been active for a little over a year now. I have two books, A Safe House and Echoes of Home. I've been in the creative space for a little over a decade now when it comes to specifically doing poetry, about 7 years. And in that time frame, I have not just grown as a student, but grown as a change agent in the poetry community to be a part of different spaces, micro spaces, and to be able to share my work, to be able to share space with other creatives and poets and just build off of what has been shared in those spaces has been a beautiful experience, to the point where I can now lead an initiative, not just on a monthly basis with my Blackbird Poetry Slam group, but to have a team representing the Bahamas on an international level. So I'm just grateful for the experience, grateful to be able to use my words to effect change in as much and as many capacities as I possibly can.
Where are we going to compete?
We go in Orlando.
Okay. Now, I've never been to a poetry competition. Mm-hmm. Andrew, when I go to support the Bahamas, any national team, on a national stage, there's formal language that you're allowed to use. One term is yabis, mm-hmm. right? Like when VJ Edgecombe, when he was at like 28, 27, and he went over to 30, mm-hmm. every Bahamian in a 30-mile radius say yabis. But at a poetry competition, how am I, as a spectator, allowed to cheer on the poets?
So we have a variety of ways you can do that. You could do the traditional clipping your fingers, but you could also affirm the poets, you know, telling them, keep going, you know, like, let's go. Like, you know, you could clap them up, you know. Mm-hmm. There are a variety of ways that you can do that, and we normally share that in the space.
All right. Is Get Them Reggie an acceptable chair at the poetry competition?
It's acceptable.
Okay. What about, yeah, that's Grammy Boy?
That could work.
That could work.
Grammy don't come out, but that could work.
That's why I say,
bring them.
That's Grammy Boy.
You got to tell people what they got to say.
Yeah, Grammy could say that.
Okay, you know. So listen, tell me again when y'all are going.
So we are going the week of June 9th to the 13th.
So do I have how many poetry, how many Blackbird Poetry Slam competitions can I attend before the competition, the global competition?
So I think about two. We have one, well,
this one in April.
This one in April, and then the next one in May. We normally have it the last Wednesday.
In every month.
In every month.
All right. See, that's where we're going to, the Bahamas. We had a little mix up with the national swimming team, the winningest team in the history of the Bahamas. We had a little mix up.
Yes.
But anybody in the Orlando area, we need you all to head out to this competition, mm-hmm. right? But for us in New Providence, we go into the Blackbird Poetry Slam competition so we could learn how to be good spectators in this competition. Because I just run hot. Like, if I think the other poet talking about you and your poem in their poem, because your poem was good and it inspired them, I still could be upset. I still could say something out of turn.
We encourage good sportsmanship. You know, that's a good part stuff. Of the criteria, as well as like no hate speech and nothing of that nature.
Okay, yeah.
So that, you know, it's a comfortable environment for every poet, because not every poet may have the same beliefs, but this is a shared space. Mm-hmm. And we want you to express your creativity, but in a witty way and in an engaging way where, you know, people would be able to relate or at least understand your point of view.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So on the flyer, I saw cash prize $200. That's the first thing I saw.
Yeah.
Tell me how that works.
So most poetry slams are 2 to 3 rounds.
Okay.
Right? If you make it past, if it's a 2-round slam, if you make it past the first round, the winner of the round, and depending on the rules, because it could be a clean slate round, that's whatever score you get in this final round, that would determine the winner.
Right, so we don't accumulative.
But there are some slams like this one coming up, this cumulative score.
Okay.
So whatever you score in the first round, definitely.
You could take into the second round with you if you get there. Okay.
Yeah.
Real competition.
Real competition.
No, man, I like it.
Checkers
I like it.
And everything.
What's the theme? Is there a theme for each month's event?
Most times. This month, we went with the theme Certified Heat. Just bring in your best work, your file.
You have a fortune teller. You have someone who's predict the future on your team. Certified heat.
Yeah.
See, because if I work for BPL, anybody call me talking about Mr. Power Off and it hot, I can say, but is it certified heat, ma'am? We can only deal with certified heat. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. So, Ms. Pratt, I didn't tell you this. I don't know if I told you this, but I gave Mr. Gomez a little heads up on some of the prompts that I just want to throw out to y'all today, and maybe you could throw out a prompt to me. Like,
okay.
My favorite prompt is Bouncing Castle.
Right?
Okay. Bouncing Castle. I don't know if you listen to my show. As an advocate, I have a campaign against party organizers that only bring in bouncing castles for little children. And then the organizer can tell me, but miss,
not for adults.
Is what the people them ask for. I say, but do they know that bouncing castles for adults are available? Anyway, after ruminating on that last night, I came up with the beginning of a poem. No, the beginning of a poem from the prompt, Bouncing Castle.
Okay.
And it is, Government House is a bouncing castle. Because I never fit the criteria to get in.
Ooh.
That's it. That's the whole poem.
Okay.
All right. Miss Tanisha Pratt,
hey.
Welcome to the studio. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. Well rested.
Now listen, I invited you here today because as far as I am concerned, you are the country's poet laureate, right? The opportunity you had to read a poem, I think it was in Poetry Month, and it had environmental sort of theme to it. Now, when I say that, it may not have been about the environment, but the language evoked to express herself also, because it was, I think it was the title Blue of the poem?
The title Blue?
Was it
No,
Blue?
It was Celebration.
Aye.
It was Celebration. So it was actually more aligned with Bouncing Castles.
Okay.
But it sounded like you need to be the national poet, you know, laureate, because the way that you have with words is amazing. But
I'm waiting for the punch to start hiring again, man. I'm going to do the poetry section in there.
Babe, bring punch back. Hashtag bring punch back. But
so what have you been doing since then?
I've been focusing on a few projects.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I don't think I've ever shared this. I think I did maybe last time. I'm the founder of Plumbago House. So Plumbago House is my multidisciplinary publishing company where I create diverse works. So this May, we're actually going to be having a film screening. So I collaborated with Canoe Studios that is founded by Nate McPhee. And we worked on a short film together, and we said, you know what? We should just create a indie short film event so he could be able to show his work and I would be able to show my work.
You mean like that beautiful piece that you made in collaboration about the silk cotton tree?
Yes. So that's going to be showing.
Oh, yes.
That's going to be showing. My other poetic film, Olukun Sun, is going to be showing. And then there is a new one that I did, which is Blue Jeans. So the whole entire theme is in celebration of Blue's fourth anniversary.
Okay.
So it's going to be, she's going to be 4 years old.
Wow. Awesome.
And it's also around Mother's Day as well, because that was around the release of that time. So we're really just delving into the conversation of what Blue, what taking the poetics of Blue looks like in a film. And what's really, really cool about it is that me and Nate have two completely different approaches. When it comes to style, when it comes to storytelling, and the way that we approach film. So I think that it's going to be really great.
You mean Nate the rapper?
No.
Hold on, the musician though, right?
Nate actually is a producer, yes.
Yeah, because wasn't he a part of the tour?
No, Nate wasn't a part of the tour.
Nate, anyway, I listened to plenty of your music, and it's because of Tanisha Pratt. She introduced me to you.
I scream it. I hope Nate is here at this. But yeah, so we're going to be doing that. And then in June, around the same time that you guys are going to be doing Orlando, we're going to be in London for Toto 2.
Yeah,
Toto Part 2.
I know Nate
traveling, baby.
I know the song that I kill. I just sent in something to the producer. Okay, so your event is, ma'am, 2nd of May.
2nd of May.
2026.
7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the National Art Gallery in the Fiona's Theater.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I like it. All right. So let's talk about NaPoRiMo. Mm-hmm. Tell the people what it is, how long you've been participating in it, and if they want to get on board for the rest of the month or to make sure that they are on board for next year's NaPoRiMo, tell them what they could do.
Okay, so NaPoRiMo is National Poetry Writing Month. So in the month of April, you're supposed to be writing a poem every day. That initiative was actually, it's locally founded by Sonia Farmer. Mm-hmm. She's an artist, poet, book publisher, bookmaker.
Poinciana Paper Press.
Poinciana Paper Press owner. And she hosted on WhatsApp. So you would have to be able to get in contact with Sonia Farmer. You could check out her website, and that should have her contact details, poinciana paper press.com.
Search Poinciana Paper Press, poinciana paper press.com. They're on Instagram, they're on Facebook, and they're at number 12 Park Gate Road. While you're going to number 12 Park Gate Road, right, I am taking part in a workshop being put on by Poinciana Paper Press called Radical Acts of Publishing. Right? And I am a part
Congratulations.
Of, thank you. I'm a part of a show that's up there called As the Earth Breathes Every Season. And it is the product of a bookmaking, a residency program. And so I've made a collection of magazines called zines. And my small show is called Proper Gander. Because I'm totally dissatisfied with the quality of gander being put out by these political parties and pundits. It's disappointing, and it is not entertaining, except for the woman in the video with Fred Mitchell. That woman in the music video on the gazebo, on the park.
With the fan?
With the finger, when she do the finger, and she put a...
Y'all have to show me that one.
I will show you that. Her. I like her. I almost moved to Fox Hill constituency to vote for her. Right? I like that. Let me send this song to Kermit. Nate, I found a song. I can surprise the audience with it. Antonisia.
I can see which one this is.
All right.
Because
let me see if y'all on y'all business today. What's the prompt for Napo Remo today?
Today?
Yeah.
Boy.
I know.
There's a lot of writing has been taken place.
Yeah. Well, I mean, writing a poem every day. And then because for me, I'll still be on day 3. It's day 15, and I'm still living in the body of the poem I started writing on day 3. Right? Just like poets, y'all can't be married. You can't be married. How you can marry one poem?
That's not true.
How you can marry one poem?
You literally married.
Sorry, Mrs. Gomez. He is definitely married. We ain't questioning that. But to the poetry, like, how could you be married to one poem? How, like, is there a tension? Do you feel a tension? Like, I have a friend, Helen Klinaris, and she's an author. And a poet.
I know Helen.
When she was writing a book, like, she disappeared, you know? Like, she disappeared. And she said, yeah, because me and these characters, we live in. You know, I'm learning them. They're teaching me. They're learning me. And I don't have space for people and other conversations. I'm, like, deep in this conversation. Like, how do you deal with that? And then the tension of sort of having to make money and the equal tension of having to make art, having to express yourself.
It's a balance.
Yeah. I know for me right now, I feel like it hits home because I am trying to memorize poems. And it's like, I have two I need to memorize. And it's like, it's hard because I'm living my regular life. I have to practice the ones I already have prepared, not just for the show next week, but coming up in June and, you know, traveling. So it's like, I get the frustration. I get the balance, you know? So I just wanted to share that because it is a challenge sometimes, especially when you pull in from memory in that capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely watched, I've experienced the relationship with poetry changing over time, over decades. And I think in this current decade where I'm in my 30s, it's like you have to juggle so many responsibilities and so many relationships on top of having to show up for your work and your art. But it's almost like you can't help it. Like, I can't help even to just maybe record something on a voice note or just scribble something on my notebook. I always bring a notebook with me. So it's literally just you have to have that discipline to whenever you feel it, Don't run away from it. Don't just put it for another day because you're not going to write it. You have to be disciplined in
capturing those moments.
Those moments because otherwise you lose them and months go by and you don't have any inspiration. So you have to do the things as well for your body to get back in that space again.
Mm-hmm. I was in boarding school like almost 30 years ago, right? And I was asked to read a poem. And I knew that Bahamians went there, but I didn't understand what that meant, like for me and for the school, like their understanding of who Bahamians are and what they sort of bring to the table, right? And when I read it, I struggled to memorize the piece, not to read it, right? But I struggled to memorize it. And it was from way back then that I realized that, like, I want to be in plays and stuff, but my memory is horrible. And then I found improv, right? And I do improv. I used to do, maybe this show is more improv stand-up than it is educational, right? But improv stand-up, I do improv comedy, and even like improv poetry, right? I've hesitated to come to the event because I'm really an improv poet and not a real professional poet like the two of y'all in this room.
Oh, right, I think they'd love you on stage. Yeah, honestly, because it's a really so Tuga Comedy Club, that's the venue. They're a really chill crowd. You ain't got like no stuffy people in there, no bourgeoisie. Like, it's literally just people from different walks of life, from different income brackets, but everybody is just here to listen and laugh and
have a good time.
Even the YNs of.
You got YNs there. I want to spend a night in the vicinity.
YNs be there.
In the vicinity of some YNs.
Vocab was on there. Shout out to Vocab.
Yeah, a improv specialist.
Right. So there's space for you.
All right. I can come.
Yeah.
I got to get permission from the police to be out after 10:30. But I come in. This is awesome. Okay, so, Tanisha, last year's, I can say it right, Mapo Remo project, you participated in the creation of a collaborative poetry and art chapbook with Turn Art Gallery?
Yes.
Both of us.
You as well?
Yeah.
What? I'm so glad to have you.
That was Transforming Spaces.
No, it was Turn. It was Turn Gallery.
No, it was not Turn.
Yeah, it was in collaboration.
Oh, man. I just was looking at the photo in my phone earlier this week.
It started out as a collaboration with Napo Remo and Turn.
Yeah.
So it started out as a workshop.
Okay.
And that was to have a conversation with the art pieces that we're exhibiting. And at that time, it was Kashelle Knowles and Sydney Colby. They had a beautiful exhibit, and we had like a lot of prompts talking about childhood, about being a teen in school.
The name of the workshop was To Scatter Seeds.
To Scatter Seeds.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay. To Scatter Seeds. Are you writing that down?
To Scatter Seeds. Okay. So we did the workshop, and then afterwards the opportunity for Transforming Spaces came up.
Then,
so it was displayed in Transforming Spaces as a part of the broader art exhibition?
Yeah, so Poinciana Paper Press and Turn Gallery invited us then back after we contributed the poems to read the poems out loud in the
Transforming Spaces
exhibit.
Okay, look here. So two things I want to say, right? Let me start with the first one and hopefully I remember. So the second one is everybody cutting the movie and don't realize they could cut a movie. Right?
That's a problem.
Now everybody talking about they cutting a movie, but they don't realize that they could actually cut a movie. But the second thing is this. Dear audience, this is the political part. So don't make it too obvious because I don't want the poets to get the play. There are a lot of political ads on Facebook in particular. In fact, here's why it's really hitting me. I play some games like Sudoku, Number Match, some number games, brain games. And they have a ton of ads. My games are now being inundated with local political ads. I am very upset. Like if I watch in ZNS, I expect it. Not my little video game, my little number game I play on my tablet, right?
Oh, no.
So here's what has me really, really upset. You know, Michael Pintard wrote a book called Politrics. It's a satirical look at how politics operates in the Bahamas. There's some company, some group of people, somebody, could be an AI agent, you know, an Autobot, who knows. But there's a series of ads that are representing the book Politrics as if it is a non-satirical manual for tricking the Bahamian voter. And that's when I realized that we don't know how to read books. It's not that we don't read. We do a lot of reading. We know a lot of words. But we don't know how to read books. Like, we don't know how to look at a book, identify what type of book it is, and then how to read it. And that is prominent for me because I didn't read Animal Farm in high school. That wasn't on my school's reading list. So many people have read Animal Farm, but I realize so many people don't understand what they read. Mm. Like, because of the way that they read it, they are replicating the things that were presented to them as truth, as opposed to understanding it is to be interrogated so that you could understand. It's satire, like almost like satirical, so you could understand what is truth and what isn't truth. That's when I realized that, yeah, we got a lot of kids reading and we have a lot of adults reading, but they don't understand what they're reading because they don't know how to read a book. And so that's like one of the impetuses, what compelled me to try and frame this conversation today, right? Because we got lots of people, and it's the same thing with the Bible, right? You have lots of people reading the Bible and they know all of the verses, but because they don't understand what the book is, they're not reading it properly.
Yeah, a lot of contacts.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone. I know that was very, very heavy. And then we're going to get back to why these young people say they won't cut a movie, but they don't know what a movie is. Good morning, caller, and thanks for your patience.
It's okay. Thank you
for
taking my call, and good morning to your guests.
Morning.
Ms. Green, maybe when you get an opportunity, you could maybe explain a little bit more, but I don't know if you agree with what I'm thinking. The politicians sound like they're using a book, what the incoming prime minister wrote, Mr. Michael Pintard, to make it sound like he was serious. That's the way how...
No, okay, I feel you. That's what it seems like.
Not to me.
I know, but what is happening is that maybe Michael Pintard correctly represented how politics works in the country.
That's right, that's it. Are you good with that, though? Would you call that a... Not paraphrase, you used the word good. That's what it is. And they should know that. I think they are playing like they're ignorant, or I think it's intentional that they play like they really don't understand what the book is. But I always hear 52 call and sound like he's a poet, too. I wish he
would
take the opportunity and come and give us a little poem. But I hear listening, you know, as a blind person. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if the lady and the gentleman could say a little poem, and let's say and do it, and I miss it. I won't hear something.
Thank you very much, caller. Thank you very, very much. It's not just my request now. The audience has requested, while I have you in studio, if you could... find a poem to read. Producer, maybe now... Oh, let's go to the next caller, and then we'll go to a break. Good morning, caller. How you doing?
Hey, my name is Green, I guess. How you doing?
Good, thank you. You know the woman in Fred Mitchell video, Fox, your cousin? She's a star. Yeah, you know what? She's a star. No, and I'm not making fun of her either.
A lot of people pass English, but a lot of people fail comprehension.
Yes, this is true.
So that's the problem right there. A lot of people could read stuff, but they can't comprehend what they're reading. That's why in school they had two different classes, English class and comprehension, which most people actually failed.
Possibly, yeah, true. I'm saying that's likely. Yeah. I think that's what it is. And see, what happens is it's through a continuous access to books and conversation. So not just magazines and books, but... conversations on the television as well. Y'all hear the song? What this called? Yeah, it's called... You know, this is NXTETG. How he's pronounced that, Tanisha?
It's Nate the Great.
That's what that spelled? Nate the Great? I love it, Nate the Great. Tell me the name of the song again.
I think this part, I say, is it?
No. I think it's Oh Yeah. Oh, boy.
This one is Bay.
This is Bay. See, I call it Abaco, right? Because of the hook.
This Bay with Giovanni.
Yeah.
I ain't with the drama. Nick with me top dollars. Youth moving too smoothly. The future's a movie. Can't beat us, just join us. Keep the freedom in motion. You don't want these problems, babe. If we being honest, they know we coming like a boxing day.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The following is a paid political message.
Out to Kalani.
That was a paid political message.
Foreign commercial banks have been closing across our islands. For thousands of Bahamians, our country's post office savings banks are a lifeline, providing safe and secure banking. But Michael Pintard says,
we will abolish the bank through the post office system.
That's a risk Bahamians can't afford. That's why the Prime Minister is making post office savings banks stronger to protect Bahamian families and businesses who rely on them. Paid for by the PLP.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of them. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
This is the National Youth Guard program designed to train young people to help the Bahama Islands in times of disaster.
I decided to join to better serve my country as well as to better myself.
We train the help in search and rescue,
electrical, plumbing, and carpentry.
And things that they can actually expand on in their careers.
Young people who join the Youth Guard program discover a sense of identity, a sense of purpose, and a sense of patriotism.
This program isn't about only the individuals. It is about the country.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
5 years of PLP rule. Are you better off today? While you work, they've spent millions on taxpayer-funded trips, a government-funded luxury car, and handed out hundreds of millions in no-bid contracts. But for the rest of us, gas and groceries through the roof, VAT on bread basket items, healthcare that is broken, unaffordable, and out of reach. And it's not just your wallet. For 5 years, illegal immigrants have flooded our communities, putting excessive pressure on our schools, our housing, and our social services. As they flood in, Bahamian families fall behind. Under the FNM, there will be a change. The FNM has a plan to address the rising cost of living, secure our borders, protect Bahamians from illegal immigrants, and fix our health care. Because the FNM knows our job is to work for you and you. This message was paid for and authorized by the Free National Movement.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. As we get the boy, look here, I was about to call myself Maya Angelou Green because I could dream big, man. But then I realized I don't have to call myself Maya Angelou Green because guess what? I am Erin, owner of Mitchell Powell Bailey Green. That's my auntie. And she's a real poet. She was writing poetry in the 70s, the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, right? And you think I's a political satirist? Her poems are witty, to the point, strike to the point of the social tensions of the time in full Bahamian dialect. She better than me because, you know, I'm more proficient in the Queen's English than I am in Bahamian dialect. And so I don't have to be Maya Angelou. I could be Ona Bailey, another profound poet in the country. But before we get back into the show, you all know about St. Joseph Parish Annual Bazaar and Raffle? Do you know? Have you bought me a ticket? Before you buy me a ticket, you should buy yourself a ticket and you should buy your Grammy a ticket. And then buy me a ticket because the prizes are amazing. But listen, Saturday, 9th of May. So you have, I guess, up until the 8th of May, maybe the morning of the night, to buy your raffle ticket. The bazaar and raffle is going to take place Saturday, the 9th of May from 12 noon to 10 p.m. on the St. Joseph Church grounds. Call 323-5993, 323-5993. For more details or for ticket sale locations. And I know they be at Top of the Hill, probably be at Top of the Hill closer to noon to Dublin. Raffle tickets, that's Top of the Hill, super value, just in case y'all don't know, y'all young people don't know what we mean when we say Top of the Hill. See, you got to have some cultural context to understand some of the things that people are saying and the way that we share those things. Like if we can use poetry to say it without saying it. But let's go to this caller and see what this caller wants to say. Good morning, caller. How you doing?
Pleasant. Good morning, Ms. Green. How you doing today?
I'm good, thank you, sir.
I just wanted to know, can I take a moment to comment on the conversation they've been talking about, these parks and beaches?
Sparky, not today. I got two guests in
the
studio.
The negative parts they were talking about.
I understand. Tomorrow, we're going to have time. I'm going to open the lines. We're going to get back to our normal political, critical interrogation.
Okay. And the next thing, I know you lost the aunt the other day, and then you said there was another member of the family that was seeking blood.
Yes, Aunt Carol Hannah. But Aunt Carol Hannah has had a successful medical procedure. She is at home if she knows what's good for her. She practicing her two-step and a wheel and turn ya because we have a recovery date. Yes.
Great, great. I'm so glad to hear that she made it okay and she got what you requested. I'm so proud of my Bahamian people that came forward to help her.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, wish you and your family the best.
And let me say once again, Sparky, thank you for sharing your personal experience with blood drives and your efforts to keep the blood bank filled, because you said something, you sparked what should be a national discussion. We have a crisis amongst women with iron levels, and countless numbers of women are being turned away when they go to donate blood. And we are essentially, I want to say, relying on good men. And even some not so good ones, but they every once in a while they say, let me try a thing to support the blood bank. And so I thank you for your efforts, and I hope that younger members of the lodge community, the Freemasons community, will take up that banner, hey?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people don't realize that when you contact with things like high blood pressure and sugar diabetes, it depletes the blood bank because you're not eating healthy. And we've been emphasizing that the health of the nation is the wealth of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And once they find out that you reach a certain age, your body starts to decline, you develop these, what we call diseases like sugar and high blood pressure. They can't take blood from you no more.
Yeah.
You see, so once you go there, they find that out, they end up giving you blood.
Yeah, there you go.
We try to ask him to please, please try to eat healthy. Try to stay away from diabetes. We got children younger and younger, 9 and 10 year old children with diabetes.
Yes, sir.
You're sending these children to school with money, they buying lollipop and potato chips and things before they even reach school from the back of these people selling stupidness on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand everybody needs to make some money, but why feed your children first thing again about dentists with all kinds of cavities, then sugar and diabetes at 9 and 10 years old? Man, you got to stop that. Have a good day.
Thank you very much, Sparky. Thank you very much. Like I said, what he shared, recently he was honored by the lodge he's a member of for his efforts in organizing blood drives. Right? Tremendous effort. And it made me think of something just now, waking on a poem, guys, right? Chicken in the bag is like a deceitful woman. That's the name of the poem, right?
Wow. Listen. You had my attention.
Yeah. Chicken in the bag is a deceitful woman. She lies to you behind her smile. And let me tell you what inspired this story, because I used to be addicted to chicken in the bag until I realized that chicken in the bag is practice obeah. Okay, when I drive past a chicken in the bag shop and that craving hits me, it sneaks its way in through the ventricles of my car, even though I have them sealed up tight like my change purse communion Sunday. It is actually the smell of the vinegar and ketchup steaming in the bag that you're craving, because you're craving fermented foods. You craving pickled foods. You craving the vinegar. You craving that old-time thing that your ancestors lived on. Because they had no refrigerator. I mean, they didn't have no BEC either. See, we was in the same situation. We have a BEC and still can't use the refrigerator. And that's what I have been craving all of these years, right? So chicken and like a deceitful woman. I can finalize that poem. Soon.
Yeah, you got to finish that.
So tell us some of the prompts, one or two of the prompts, while I can give you all some of my prompts for today. One of my prompts for today is moorings. And after you all read your poems to the audience, I will read my moorings poem. Whistles is another prompt. Here's another prompt. It's a bit strong language.
Whistles.
I don't do. Let me tell you what I have. I don't do.
I like that. Take that on with me.
Public disclosures and that living in my constituency thing. That's for the birds and the COI. Sometimes you get in your own poem, right? I don't do. Another one is Golden Jubilee and again, Bouncing Castle. These are the prompts for today. Dear audience, there is a prize, but the prize is the knowledge that you have expanded yourself and produced something beautiful. That's what your Grammy would have told you. And you would have been sitting there thinking you're getting a real prize. It is a real prize. It takes you later in life to discover what the prize is. Mm. All right.
So you want to do the prompts?
No, it's up to you. Let me know. Just let it shoot.
I don't know.
Read the poem.
Let me read the poem.
We can read the poems first.
And I'll read my poems after you read your poems.
But I did come up with a prompt.
Okay.
To share.
Okay, so here is my moorings poem while waiting for Andrew. A mooring cries out into the wild ocean sky, seeking the attention of a lonely tax collector. Mm. Sometimes you got to end your own poem.
You're doing some of these couplets, you know.
Yeah. Thank you.
I like them.
So this is an ode.
Hold on. Is this a poem to somebody you used to owe money to? And then it's like the letter you send them after you paid them the money. Like, listen, this was a great relationship. I'm so happy I paid you your money. Now please stop calling my phone.
No.
Okay, just checking. That's not what an ode means. Okay.
It is a letter, though. It's a letter to the 9-to-5 warriors trying to stay alive, to float in a world that would rather see them drown, see them flop like fish. Gasping for a taste of survival is a skill learned on the brink of death. And we have all seen someone die. Dreams gutted from belly, bagged for bio, bagged for money, with nothing to show for it but fish tails.
But what you mean, why did you look at me with such harsh eyes when I said the show is going to be a little political? Because that is a perfect example of the personal is political, right? Knowing that you didn't come here to talk politics, the first thing I thought was, I thought you was going to talk about traffic, right? Because people who work 9-to-5 jobs, they're not just working for 8 hours, right? It's the 1.5 hours it takes for them to get to work and the 1.5 hours it takes for them to get home. And the International Labor Organization talks about this, right? Like, the personal is political. Yes, yes, ma'am. Sorry, no, don't mind the producer.
Okay. So the poem I'm going to recite, it was submitted to Pri, and the prompt was hashtag the Caribbean is not a real place. So that's the preface. So it's basically about the things that the Caribbean is not and what we are.
Okay. All right.
So this is called It Is Not the Sea That Binds Us. It is not the sea that binds us. It is not the sea that binds us. It is the lime and reddish soil we plow for nourishment. It is the banana and sugarcane, a sweetness seasoning our tongues. It is the manners. It is the thank yous and excuse me's. It is the morning, morning, morning. It is Grammy's spirit telling you don't talk to the woman invite. It is buried faiths, Obeya, Islam, Rastafari. It is our feet, moving on our own time because there's no place more important than the grave. It is the death mark on your mummy's leg and the black fedora hat Uncle Lenny does wear to remind him of a time we were dependent but writ. It is a dream that we can be a... It is not the sea, no. It is the sand and the cracks we often fall in between.
Wonderful. It's such an important poem, right? Because I remember the young people saying, this is not a real place. And all I could say is, yeah, but remember that you're a real person. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, okay, we could fight about whether it's a real place or not, but most importantly, remember you are a real person, right? Because that's a part of the politic. A part of the politic is to convince you that you're not a real place. You're not worthy of structure. You're not worthy of development. You're not worthy of rights. You are not real, and neither is the place that you're from, right? A lot after Marco Rubio's Valentine's Day speech, which I think was a bit of poetry that everybody should read, right? It's so important for us to be able to define who we are. And this is important for young Bahamians because I bet you I could name off like 50 Bahamians right now who could recite at least 3 poems, like full length, not little short couplets like me, but from the English greats, right? Or the American greats. They could recite them like the Bible. And those are the words that formed their identity, right? And it's so important for young people to understand, not that this is something that you have to do to be like these old people. It's an opportunity that you have to take to define yourself and who you are. Now, I tell the producer to play some music, play one song to end the show. I don't know if he saw it. Right? I wanted him to play Shepherd Moy because I think that's a poem, right? But I'm not quite sure what the poem is about. Dear young Bahamians, before these songs became songs, they were lyrics, and these lyrics, some of them are poems, right? Telling you about who you are, right? That's why when Jermaine Higgs missed the nomination day, I couldn't help but play You Can't Find Jerry Roker in Town. Can't Find Jerry Roker in Town. Because if you know the poetry of that song, you'd know why you gotta play that. Anyway, we all out of time. The producer just let us know. Tanisha Pratt, we're gonna see you on Saturday, the 2nd of May at the Blue Hour. Andrew, we're gonna see you tonight or next week, Wednesday?
Next week, Wednesday.
Tuga Comedy Club.
And for tickets, if you wanna check out the film screening, it's plumbago-house.com.
My favorite poem today, Government House is a bouncing castle. I never could fit the criteria to get in. Anyway, you guys have a great day. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
This woman out high, I had enough. I'm gonna go to Nassau to bluff my stuff.
No more up in the morning, out in the field. Just relax, chill out, and cool my heels.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.